morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Got a really good show. My name is Bill Sturgeon. It is a good show. And I have with me today Alan Barros. He's the artistic director at Shakespeare and Company. We're going to talk about an upcoming reading. He'll all explain it. But it's really kind of exciting. And the title of it is Emma. And so without further ado, for Gras, soup du jour, here's Alan Barros, again, the artistic director at Shakespeare and Company, and that is in Lenox. So for those who don't know. And he left already. That's good. All right. They wonder why I'm losing my hair, but. So what's going on, big guy? Starting tonight. It'll be tonight and through the weekend. It's a short run, so don't procrastinate.
Yeah, well, it actually starts on December 13th.
Yeah.
Which is day after tomorrow, I hope.
Yeah, but this will show in the morning.
Sorry?
This will show Friday morning.
Oh, right. Look at you. Time traveler. That's what you are. Thanks.
Yeah.
Now you got to edit out my stupidity.
So let me start again. Ready, set. Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. Today I'm really happy to have with me Alan Barros. He is the artistic director of Shakespeare and Company. We got a really fast upcoming performance. It starts, ready, tonight. And it will run just through the weekend. So, Alan's going to explain it all. The title of it is Emma. I've been so excited because we talked about this, a couple months ago, this happening. And I've been excited to have it come on and to have Alan talk about it. So here we go. Alan Barros, he is, as I said, the artistic director at Shakespeare and Company. I'm going to let a little secret out. He has agreed that if there is ever a need for a dead body, I got the part. So there you go. Alan, how are you?
You're the best. And you know, you could still be breathing. I bet if you were still breathing, we could put you to use out there.
But I can hold my breath for 3 minutes.
Thanks for having me on. This is really exciting because Jane Austen is a writer whose adaptations, generally by Kate Hamill, we do. And they've kind of turned out to be like a holiday tradition for us.
Yeah.
And so this is Emma by Kate Hamill, based on the novel by Jane Austen, directed by Ariel Bach. And it's what we call a lively costumed reading. Now, what does that mean? Lively costumed reading. One, it's lively. Two, it's costumed. And when you say reading, that's sometimes hard to determine because the actors are moving around. They have the show is staged, but they got their scripts in their hands.
Yeah.
And these are actors who are really good at making you forget that they have scripts in their hands.
Yep.
So all the relationships are there, all fun and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll read you a brief synopsis, super brief, because it's just a couple sentences long, and that's all I can maintain focus for. It goes like this. Emma Woodhouse prides herself on being a matchmaker with an impeccable track record, much to the chagrin of her dear friend, Mr. Knightley. Her latest scheme revolves around the sweet Harriet Smith, whom Emma advises to reject a perfectly good marriage proposal in favor of another eligible bachelor. But her best laid plans are turned upside down by unpredictable displays of affection, unexpected rivals, and Emma's sudden realization that true love may have been under her nose.
Heavy duty.
You know what? After coming out of that election season and the whirlwind that was, sometimes you just need some good storytelling, you know.
And Jane Austen is one of the very best.
Yeah. Yeah, she really is. I mean, it's no disparagement to call them Janiacs, but I'm telling you, Janiacs, they fly in from as far as San Diego to see this. So we're really looking forward to it. It plays tonight. December 13th at 7. Wait a second. Yeah, 7 p.m. And
Yep.
then tomorrow, the 18th, at 2 in the afternoon and at 7. And
Okay.
then on the 15th, Sunday, at 2 p.m.
Cool.
And so yeah, it's really a lot of fun. People come out, it's been selling well. Get your tickets while they last. And it's in the Elaine Bernstein Theater,
Yeah.
down in kind of our winter residence down there at the hill. So on the bottom of the hill on
Well,
our
don't worry,
property.
there won't be snow. It's rained so hard for the last several days that, you know.
Bums me out.
I
I know it was a lot to hope for, to have the cold and the snow continue and have it, you know,
know.
be all in
Well,
the
you're a
holiday and
skier.
everything. Yeah, I like to go downhill fast. I like to fly through the air. I'm getting too
I
old.
used to be, but my old brittle bones right now, just a I've known too many of my colleagues who didn't know enough to hang them up.
Yeah,
So,
I take a long, when I fall, I take a long, I usually lie there for a
yeah.
while and then just determine if anything has happened. And then I take a long time to get up. And I have had the occasional collision with the odd snowboarder. And
Yeah.
I've come out the better for it for an old guy like me, you know, so.
There is always that very important quality, experience.
Yeah,
So,
experience generally helps you go slower.
Ariel
I
Brock,
did
too.
have
How
a
did
collision with a snowboarder up in Vermont a couple of years ago, and he and I, we hit each other so hard. It was like Monday Night Football. That's how hard we hit each
Oh.
other. And he skied down, and I went over. I saw him at the bottom to ask him how he was. And he had his friends all around him who were telling them, he was telling them how some old dude just took him right out. So I took satisfaction from that. I'm
Yeah.
like, that's right. Yeah, some old dude just took you right out. Now, are you all right?
Yeah. As I previously said, there is a quality called experience that they don't have. If you're going to crash, put the shoulder down, take them out. That's it. So, Ariel Brock, how did you get her to direct?
Ariel
Yeah.
Bach has been with us for the
Yeah.
company for like 40 years, 40,
Yeah.
45 years. She, you know, her sons all went through the school system here. Her title is producing associate. So we get her to direct shows for really cheap, like
Oh,
nothing,
cool.
because she's on staff. But she's a great director, and I'm
Yeah.
sorry she couldn't join us today. Oh, I forgot to tell you, she couldn't join us today. So you have to just deal with me. Is that okay? I'm sorry. I
Sure.
apologize.
No, that's the story of my life.
Yeah, you just gonna
No,
have
I
to.
like it when I used to do it live from the station. The
Yeah.
call at 7:20. Hi, Bill. Yeah, I can't make it. The kids got up sick.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I will sing Irish songs. It won't be good because I'll be sober. But
Yeah, the thing is, Ariel has just got such a keen eye, especially for this
that's what I mean.
material, and she's got, you know, and she's a what we call a master voice teacher. So, you know, she's great on making sure that people tell the story properly. She's very incredibly low key, so people love working with her.
Yeah.
Same can't be said about me. I'm not low key
Yeah.
in that room. So,
No,
but
you're legendary.
that's such a mixed bag, isn't it?
Yes.
But you know what I do have for you today? I don't know if you want to pivot to this. This is next summer's season.
Oh, yes, we'll do that. But I do want to really only and finish my thought with Ariel. I've known of her. I don't know her, and she probably doesn't want to know me, because not a lot of people do. But she is legendary at Shakespeare and Company. All the things that you just said are so true, and she gets. I won't tell you who. He's not around this area of it a lot anymore, but he said Ariel Brock brought thing. talent out of him he didn't even know he had.
Yeah, she is also what we call, when I got back here. Now, she and I, Ariel and I, used to work together years ago, in the late 90s. And we would put a season together as what we called artistic associates. We were artistic associates. Now, when I got back, I designated her producing associate because she and I work hand in hand in doing particularly the casting for the shows. And, you know, when she, there was a period of time where she was working for another company, and then she was, she had a son, and then she was kind of deciding on next moves. And I said, this is years ago, 20, 25 years ago. And I said, you should think about opening a casting office in Berkshire County because you know everyone and you have such a keen eye. And so really, you know, when we tell these stories, and sometimes I wish we didn't have to call them stories because it kind of oversimplifies them. But when we tell these, and narrative sounds too fancy, but you know, when we tell these stories, it's all about how they're told. And you know, you start with the play, but then how you cast people. And casting is, you know, it's such a nuanced kind of exercise. You've got to have just the right touch and experience, and how you put people together. And we do kind of matrix casting, where we always are thinking how, if we have someone in one show, how we also can have them in another show. So when we open the first show, they're rehearsing the second show, and then they, you know, it's the old repertory model. It also, you know, it also, you get the most out of people that way. But people are excited by it. The actors enjoy it. So, but Ariel, you know, as a casting director, you know, she's just great. And she and I, you know, she's great in the room. People feel very relaxed when they come in to audition for us. We used to go down to New York, and but it got too, we'll see 400 people a year sometimes just to come in for auditions. And going into New York, you don't, people really don't have enough time to you know, to leave an impression in the room. You know, they get like 2 minutes. It's like, how you doing? How are your pieces? Okay, you got a contrasting monologue, a funny one and a sad one. Okay, go. And then they're gone. And it's really hard to nail down kind of what they might bring to a role. And you know, one of the things about actors, if they don't get a role, it's tough because they often blame themselves. Oh, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done. And the thing is, you know, it's all about how things match up. You know, it's not whether someone's a good actor or not. It's generally how they fit the story, how they fit with the other cast, how, you know, I like us to have a fair amount of influence on the casting for the season because, you know, we're at the same time, we're also trying to, you know, we're trying to continually form a company here of people who want to come back because no one's getting rich here. And so, you
Or
know,
anywhere else.
we're anywhere else right now. So we, you know, so we're always looking for that extra spark that people are going to bring to the room. So we often, you know, yes, we say to directors, of course you can have the cast you want, but you have to include us in that conversation because we're thinking of a much larger picture. And then directors are usually like, yeah, no, I totally get it. And secretly they're saying, yeah, just let me choose my cast. So.
But you know the what you bring, and I mean this not because I consider you a friend, but what you bring is you're an actor, you've been a director, you're now the artistic director, and so you've kind of had your finger in all the pies. So, I attribute that, or I believe that that is something that's beneficial, not only for people in the arts, but even people who are in management and stuff. You can't, in my opinion, you can't be a good manager unless you've been a good worker.
Yeah, I've swung my fair share of hammers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like to think it gives me a level of empathy in the audition room. I don't like to sit behind a table in an audition room. For me, it cuts off stuff. I don't like to assume the position of authority. I probably freak people out sometimes because oftentimes, if I've had enough coffee,
Yeah.
I'll jump up to greet people and just so that people can be relaxed. There's nothing where, the audition process, just to bore you with the details here, you go in, you definitely do your first read
Yeah.
you get called in for a part, you do your first read. And then if you get called back, you're good enough to do the show. Everyone knows that. Then they're just matching you up if you go to a callback. Well, a callback, what happens, which is really kind of annoying, is you go in and then all of a sudden there are all these other people there. There'll be like eight people. You've got the line producer and the director and the assistant director and the artistic director. It's unnerving for actors
Sure.
because they go in and originally it was just the casting director and maybe the artistic director and just a very friendly environment. And then all of a sudden, it's like game on and all these people are, they're on their phones or they're writing or they're like, talking amongst themselves. You want to make a room as conducive to people succeeding as possible. And so I keep that in mind,
You brought that though, because that's not normal.
I think it's unusual. Yeah, it's not something that I experienced.
Right. And I've heard other actors through the years have told me, I've come out of there doing exactly what you said. Oh, I should have done it. I should have done this. I should call. And I've said since I've been doing this forever, I believe actors are some of the most resilient people in the world. They go into an audition, they give it 100% and they get kicked in the teeth.
Yeah. Sometimes literally.
I think that's why places like Shakespeare have been successful. Look at the people who've been with that company for years. They wouldn't stay if it wasn't conducive.
Right. Yeah,
Go ahead.
we got some loyal folks here, it's the other thing, just to belabor the point on auditions, sometimes when a director is trying to match you up on the fly and he'll say or she'll say, I can you try another role? And they give you material right there.
Oh.
And so you're like, oh, okay, I got like 5 minutes to look over this scene and the previous scene I spent like a week
Yeah.
preparing. And so you go outside the room and then they come out like 5 minutes later. Are you ready? And you always got to remember to say yes. You never say, can you give me another couple minutes?
Right.
Because if you can do it cold, if you can basically read, and this is how it relates to a lively costumed reading, if you can pull those words right up off the page,
Yeah.
then it gives you that extra little bit of pluck. It's funny, I as an actor in New York, I used to play terrible tricks on myself. I would make sure that right before I went into the audition building that I jumped up on the curb with the same foot, you know what I mean? And I would always count out steps and it had to be like, and I would choose in the moment what number of steps it would be. So I would be like 12 and then I'd make sure I re and people, if you were watching me, it would be like the school of silly walks because I always am like,
Not
if
in
I
New
do this,
York.
yeah.
Not a, here, but Lenox, Pittsfield, yes. New York, they just say another nutcase.
I once had an audition that was so bad. I knew the material. So I didn't hold my script in my hand when I went in. And I'm like, I know this. I know this scene. I know it. I can do it backwards. And I go into the room, and it was for a movie or something. And I totally dried. Like, I couldn't even remember my mother's name. And so and this guy turns to the guy in the room. He goes, how does this guy work?
Whoa.
So I'm like really in a good mood then. I'm really cheerful. Anyway, yeah. I got out of there and I outside the building, I literally sat down on the curb and had to assess my whole life.
Yeah.
From those couple of moments, I sat on the curb for like an hour.
But don't you, but think about that. You're, and then you still stayed with it.
Yeah.
There are people then who say, you know what, I'm going home.
Oh, it saddens me. I've never, and this is true across the board, I never got a job where I thought I was going to.
Wow.
Not once. Not once did I go in thinking, oh, I nailed that and then got the job. And every time, well, that would mean that every time I thought I had skunked the audition. So, and generally I walk out, I'll be like, it was okay. But, and then you get the call. So, it's, you know, I like to say that I like to practice the six P's. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
Exactly.
And when I see actors come in who are prepared, and not necessarily overprepared, but prepared with their material, and they've kind of developed a connection to the material. I'm like, you know, even if we don't use someone, I'm like, put them in the watch pile.
Right. Know, like,
watch someone, even if it's not a fit. I always make sure I watch someone. So.
And you know, it is a craft. I mean, people like me go in and sit and enjoy it. But I have grown to understand that it is an art. It's a craft. People grow in their craft. They master their craft. You know, I've been playing dead people on my living room floor now for 11 years. Even my wife, she comes in
waiting,
and says something.
Waiting for the call.
Yeah. Well, you know, you say you got to pray. You know, I used to use this one when I was a manager. Poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part.
That's right.
So, but we'll get to the season for those people that are just joining us. This weekend is a really it's kind of been a thing that's gone on at Shakespeare and Company for years. We're doing a Jane Austen play, Emma, and it's all the important part for you to know is it's a short run. It's tonight, 7 o'clock, tomorrow in the afternoon, a matinee. Alan will get you the times. And Sunday, a matinee. Saturday's a matinee and an evening performance. And that's it. And then we're racing towards the holidays. And something that's really kind of, I think, prophetic after what we've been through the last year, seems like this.
18 months, yeah.
Yeah. Hanukkah starts on Christmas Eve. So, I mean, that to me, I don't know how often that happens, but not very. So, yeah. So if you can get down to Emma or get to Emma, it's going to be, and he'll tell you again, he explains it. He, you know, he's with the theater. I'm just a ham hock host here. It's a costume staged reading.
A lively costumed reading. When we hit on those series of words, I'm like, that's it. It's a lively costumed reading because it is very lively. Yeah. A lot of wordplay.
What? Let me just do this plug, and it is a plug. I want to tell people about Shakespeare and Company. A lady that I have the greatest respect for, her name is Kathy Yad. She was a school... She taught advanced placement, English and literature. I never had her as a teacher. I was in the less placement, basement mostly. But she told me, and we were talking one time about Shakespeare. And I said, I wouldn't go to Shakespeare with a gun to my head. And she said, why? And I said, well, because when we did it in high school, or actually junior high, she said, oh, no, Billy. Shakespeare's never meant to be read. It's meant to be acted. So I did. I went down to Shakespeare and by professionals. I went down to Shakespeare and Company. And I have to tell you, I was absolutely blown away. It could completely change me. And since I've been on the radio, I bet you I've had 10 people relate the same story. They oh, not Shakespeare. And then they went and saw it really performed. And that, the, as one guy said, my wife dragged me after she heard you on the radio. And that's, it used to be, I used to do calling when I had, when I used to have a mind. But, and he said, I, you know what? She was right and you were right. I haven't missed one sentence. So there's that part. The other part of Shakespeare and Company, and Alan can explain this better, I call them modern plays. Now, they may not be written this year, but they're plays that, that aren't Shakespearean. And what they do, what they've done, and one I still, the tall women one.
Three tall Persian women.
Oh, God. I talked about that. What a marvelous, marvelous play.
Hmm.
So I'm anxious to hear about the season because I really believe that the culture in Berkshire County, you're not going to find it everywhere. I really think it is a haven for artistic people, gifted people, and there's a lot of them here.
Yeah, there really are. I think we're really fortunate in that way. I mean, it's, and it just keeps growing, you know. I mean, the amount of stuff that you can see, it's tough to get out, you know, for a lot of stuff. This is a great time of year for it because for a lot of places they've buttoned up for their summer season, but we like to keep the doors open and the lights on so that people can come in and tuck in for some good solid storytelling. So,
It used to be summer stock.
Right.
When I was a kid growing up, there was Williamstown, there was Shakespeare. But now it's most of it, the good stuff is year round.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I think it takes off the chill too. You know, when you get out, that's the thing. That's what we're up against. And I don't know what the future of live in-person storytelling performance is going to be, Bill. You know, I mean, I know it's old as the Greeks, but, you know, this has been the theater industry in particular. It hasn't come back from COVID all as strong as it was before. Yeah. So we try to make our ticket prices as accessible as possible. You know, there's a 40% discount for Berkshire residents.
Yeah.
And we like to encourage people to come out. There's always some way that, we try to make it accessible. And our whole campus is accessible for that reason.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the outdoor theaters may go dark and dormant, but, you know, we just came off of our fall festival of Shakespeare plays with all the kids.
Which I heard was amazing.
Yeah, it was off the charts. And, you know, it's just the kids can really use that sense of community. They put down their devices and just get into a room and go crazy with Shakespeare together, you know. And I'll tell you, it's
heartwarming. I've been through them in the past. They support each other. They clap for each other. And you're right. I didn't go this year, but when was the last one I was at? There were no phones. I didn't see any phones the whole time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
As soon as they got on the street heading home, out came the phones.
Yeah. And they all support each other so much, the different schools. You've got Taconic supporting Lee, supporting Springfield, supporting Monument Mountain, you know, and they're all coming out and cheering for each other. They get really wrapped up into the story. You know, Romeo and Juliet is playing on Broadway right now.
I heard
You know, and they're all, it's all of a sudden Shakespeare's like back, you know, in favor. You know, he was taking a beating for a while. Everyone's like, what do we want to hear from that old guy for? But I think the poetry stands up. So
the other piece too is what I think you've done, you and Tina Packard and others.
Mm.
You've made it accessible to the common man and woman.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to put on a black tie and, you know, hey,
right.
Because you probably can't guess this, but it's not me. Last time I wore a black tie, I was at a wake. But I really mean that. And that's, I have to say to all, Kate McGuire, Julianne Boyd, Tina Packard, you've made live theater accessible to the common person.
Mm.
The everyday Joe and Mary.
Mm.
I can remember maybe you were, I don't know if you were back yet, when they opened up the Colonial after they got the big grant and everything. Oh, it was the very elite ones. You know,
yeah.
Then they brought in, Kate McGuire took over, and they brought in the guy from country, whatever, white collar country or something. And they sold out three shows. That's up, what? How many seats in there? 300, 800?
Mm. 700. I know, because I was there yesterday. 734.
Oh. Yeah. And they sold out three shows. Ron White, the guy, was the comedian, the red, you know, redneck kind of guy.
Yeah.
I applaud you guys for, and I applaud you for your selection of plays and your team. I mean, this season I thought was phenomenal. I was really
happy with it. I just felt like, you know, there were stories that kind of in simple intimacy or, you know, connection, they kind of took your breath away.
Yes, they did.
And so I was really gratified with this season, and it's all about just getting more people to key into that, because look, I'm guilty of it myself. You know, I'm prone. I like my Netflix. I like my live streaming, you know, you know, I like beer too, but I'm, you know, I'm not going to have it for breakfast every day, you know, but so. You know, I feel like the fact that people get out and they're watching something together also makes a big difference, right? How often have you turned in a play and you look over at someone you've never seen before and you share a laugh about what's going on stage, you know?
And it's called community.
Everybody is shy, you know, but you do meet people. And gosh, you know, I will
tell you a true story, and I won't tell you. Maybe off air someday I'll tell you. But I'm upstairs, and I look down, and there's this very a critic, and not the guy from the Eagles, somebody else, but because, and I look down, and he's sound asleep. I mean, he doesn't freaking move, And then, you know, the intermission comes, you could tell I was why. So then I read his write up of the thing, and I thought, you're two-faced. You know, he kind of slammed the thing, and I thought, you didn't hear or see half of it. You were sound asleep.
Yeah.
So, but, and I've talked to a lot of actors. A lot of them do not read. Anything, a critique of their current performance till after they're done.
Yeah, because if you believe the good ones, you got to believe the bad ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to bring you up to date for the next season of Shakespeare and Company. This is what they call breaking news. We'll be right back. I'm here today with Alan Barros, and I am so happy that he is on. And don't forget, tonight, Saturday, Sunday, Emma. It'll be worth, you know what? We all got to stop shopping. Stop racing to the next store. Go down, pack up all your little worries, tie a bow, go in, sit there, and relax and enjoy the play. When you come out, that package will still be there. Nobody will have done a darn thing to empty it. Right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, though. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Alan Barrows. He is the artistic director at Shakespeare & Company. And I do have travel permission from State Representative Pignatelli has given me a passport for this weekend so that I can go and see Emma. But I have to be out of Lenox no later than 10 o'clock at night. He's got restrictions on me. You got a big season coming up, dude.
We do. And you know what? You're hearing it first. Right.
No, breaking news.
Absolutely, Bill. It's really the ink is still wet on this. And, you know, we're announcing early this year. We just couldn't keep the cat in the bag. So I'm going to let me just rattle through these and give you some brief descriptions real quick.
OK,
we're starting the season with a play that we did. We ran it up the flagpole in one of our plays in process readings last summer. This is a great. For folks who are wondering what we might have, you know, in the pipeline, we will do a reading the summer before, and it allows them to hear it. And
smart.
You know, sometimes we'll choose it. This one, the first one we did, it's a world premiere called The Victim by Lawrence Goodman. It's going to be featuring one of our company favorites, Annette Miller from Golda's Balcony.
Yeah.
And directed by Daniel Gaudron, the same guy who directed Golda's Balcony. It's about a successful New York doctor whose racial diversity training has gone horribly wrong and a health aide grappling with racism during the COVID-19 pandemic and a Holocaust survivor facing her horror and finding her way back to love and healing. I'm reading you bits of the blurb.
Yeah.
So these are it's just a very powerful story. It sneaks up on you. Who gets to call herself the victim? Who's the perpetrator? And I think it's a great way to kind of ease into the season. Yeah. We'll bring back Shake It Up, a Shakespeare cabaret.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. That was
bring
so
it back.
Cool.
We'll bring it back. I've talked to Jacob Ming Trent, the lead singer in it, and we'll get the band back together and where Shakespeare meets rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way of kind of throwing Shakespeare up against the wall. And then, you know, it's like, it's better than a black light poster. All those Shakespeare plays that influence rock and roll and having a live band on stage and people.
It was amazing. You know, it really, you give a 30,000 foot overview. I mean, the Polish princess and I sat there, we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Last year I was really nervous because, you know, we created this thing and I'm like, I have no idea how this is going to land on people. Shakespeare and rock and roll, you know, like, is it going to, you know, but all those songs like, you know, Elton John, The King Must Die, being influenced by Richard II. You've got, you've got the Ophelia by the band, you know, and Ophelia from Hamlet. You've got just, you know, Guns N' Roses songs, you know, so we had to bring it back. It's just for six or seven shows, right. At the beginning of July, that first week of July, the height of the season.
Yeah.
And then, a fan favorite, Romeo and Juliet outside on the big stage, You know, people just keep coming back to this play. It's something about it. It's just so powerfully resonant. We know the story. We know, you know, spoiler alert, you know, there's people die at the end.
Yeah.
And like a lot of Shakespeare. But Kevin Coleman, our director of education, and Johnny Epstein will co-direct that. I'm all about collaborations this year.
Yeah. And Kevin, I know Kevin, he's just a wonderful person.
Yeah, he is. He's a ball. He's funny.
Yeah.
And so he'll bring some really cool stuff to that. And then August Wilson's The Piano Lesson. We did Fences, August Wilson's Fences, a couple of years ago, and that was great. This is a co-production with Actors Shakespeare Project in Boston, a company I used to run down on the other side of that state, on the wrong side of the friendly sign down there.
And,
and so we'll bring that back, and that's in July, July 25th to August 24th. And that's part of the, you know, August Wilson had all those great plays about Pittsburgh, his century cycle. And, you know, it's about this family heirloom and all the family dynamics. The family heirloom being the piano, obviously, but it's really it's a powerful play, and I think people are going to want to come back and check it out, especially if they enjoyed Fences. Taming of the Shrew, that tricky play. That's a tricky play. Yeah, we haven't done that for a while.
Yeah,
I will co-direct that with our founding artistic director Tina Packer. People will say, "Gee, I just want to get in the rehearsal room to see the fireworks in that rehearsal room, man." Well, Tina and I work better together than people might think. We have a lot of fun, and I want to be there to support her and let her keep going on this directing thing that she started all those years ago. And then in October, we have, you know, we've been trying to shine a light on voices from all over the world in various parts of our programming. So we will bring a celebration of Jewish plays in October, a special weekend of readings and a variety of Jewish writers in there. And it's kind of an immersive experience at the end of October for people to come up and they can take in one, they can take in four, they can buy a packet.
Right.
Flex passes are on sale now. Three plays, five plays, people can, and people can come and take advantage of some early discounts. And other than that, we'll just keep after, our programming in a way that, thrills and delights, as they say.
Well, you know, and I'm sure you do know, they had a similar thing this year, Jewish playwrights.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we attended almost all of them.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, I was totally captured. One really touched me specifically because it showed the hatred, but it was disguised.
Right.
I thought it was very well done. We need to be more vocal. Let me say this. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Pete White in the city council, and or the guy riding his bicycle north in the southbound lane in the pouring rain right now on North Street. I believe the theater. I try my darndest with this program to be fair and impartial. I've had people on that I wouldn't necessarily have a coffee with, but they have a right to be on. And what you're doing and what others are doing and what I try to do, I give you a breaking news for Christmas Eve. I'm doing a young fellow and perhaps his sister who, his mother was Roman Catholic, grew up in the same church I grew up in, and his father was Jewish. So we're going to do a show because Hanukkah and Christmas Eve are the same night.
Mm.
First night of Hanukkah.
Wow.
And that doesn't happen very. And I just think it's almost prophetic.
Yeah.
With all this country's been through, this guy getting shot, the guy, the healthcare guy, the kid that did it. I mean, what's happening?
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I'm nowhere near the depth and length and width of you, but in my little way, in my little show, I try to make a little bit the world a little bit better.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think we're still, we've still got this COVID hangover.
Oh,
I think that people, I don't think people have the bandwidth. And I think it's manifesting itself in some really crazy behavior, you know, and they
just driving.
Yeah, just driving. They just, you know, there's something that makes people pop off all, you know.
Yeah.
And I just feel the temperature rise in my face sometimes if I'm in reaction to something. And I'm like, wait a second. We can't expect to suddenly do a reset and go back to normal. That's what's so tough for the kids in school. It's my daughter's experience. It's like, it's not like, you know, the new normal. There was no old normal. So there's not really any new normal. So we got to make sure that, you know, that we take care of each other, that we look after each other, that we check ourselves, you know.
Check. That is a perfect saying. Check ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, when you hate somebody for something that's really beyond their control, their religion, their color, their gender, whatever, then you need to check yourself and look in the mirror. So my St. Irish mother used to say, when you look in the mirror, do you see somebody you like or somebody you don't like? And, you know, when you think about it, I won't get into a lot of detail. I got offered to do a job one time after I retired, and I did my homework and stuff, and it wasn't me, and it was a lot of money, but I had to look. I could see my mother talking to me.
Yeah, right.
I have to look in the mirror and say, you know, money's not everything.
Right.
And what you're doing at Shakespeare, what you did with the tall Persian women or whatever, that. A lot of people walked out of that play talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was there and I was listening, saying, oh my God, these aren't like the people that are portrayed on television. Well, no, they're not the regime.
Right. Right.
There is my kind of people, the Joe and Mary six pack.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just something we're going to keep doing.
You got to do it. Somebody, I think it was Kate, but the theater can be a great teacher. And I also, you know, your involvement with the school, Shakespeare's involvement with the shoot. You've helped a lot of kids.
Yeah. And a lot of kids have helped us too, because it's very affirming, you know, when you get that,
yeah.
You know, when you get that type of reaction from these kids, it makes you want to keep doing it. You know, so.
And I dealt with kids, and you were dealing with them, as is the Barrington, as is Berkshire Theater Group. In the Violent Youthful Offender Program, I would have bet you if none of them had ever been in a theater other than a movie theater.
Right.
They've never seen a live play. They don't even know what this side of the world is like, a lot of them. And what you do in that, you don't know sometimes how many souls you are touching. And that's a credit to you and the people who do it.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to put a number on it, but we say we get, you know, we've reached 30,000 kids. I guess we've reached over 1 million kids, you know, because we have this tour also that goes out on the road. They're getting ready to take Macbeth out on the road. We can say it. Normally you're supposed to say the Scottish play because of all the superstition around it.
Right.
When you're working on it, you can say the title. But that's going out, you know, all over the Northeast coming up. And you know, a lot of kids we're going to schools in Presque Isle, Maine, you know, and you know, some random our, auditorium, and kids won't ever have seen this stuff. And so it's their only exposure to it. So,
well, it's a credit to you. It's a credit to the organization, and the people who, are really committed to it. And, I look forward to the season. I really do. And at my age, I don't buy green bananas, but, I do. I hope I'm around for at least the kickoff. But seriously, I thank you for coming on. Emma is this weekend, starting tonight. Please get your tickets. Please go and see it. I think Kevin just, Kevin, Alan, just hit a nail right on the head. We got to recover from COVID. And I don't think all of us are. I really don't.
We're not admitting it yet.
I think you're right. And I think one way is get back, do something new, or get back to something you enjoyed. That's the operative word, you enjoyed. I enjoy going to plays.
Yeah.
Because that you'll never see that play performed that way ever again.
Yeah.
A movie's so different. You watch the movies, it's gonna be the same every time.
I'll say our website at shakespeare.org. We got the first one. When the World Wide Web was created, that's why we can say shakespeare.org. And the phone number is 413-637-3353 for the box office. So please get your tickets. Great to see
you. And
I
will tell you, I think I did tell you the last time, your box office people, they are tremendous. They just couldn't be. I haven't met one nasty person there.
Yeah, that's good.
I won't say where, but I mean, I had a little conversation with an usher one time.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I'm not used to people talking to me like I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am an idiot, but I don't like people talking to me like that. I know you got to run. I've got announcements. All I can tell you, please, to you and your family, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'm always here to help if you need any help. Don't forget the dead body thing.
Thanks so much, Bill.
You're the best, man. Be well.
All right.
All right. Alan's got to run. I got a few announcements that we have to make.
So and, jumping off. Take it easy.
You too, Alan. Thanks a million. Bye-bye. St. Mary's Bingo. They're having St. Mary's Bingo again tomorrow, December 14th. Doors open at 12:30. It helps support St. Mary's School. And I will tell you, St. Mary's School does a wonderful, wonderful job with kiddos. I know people who have kids there and who have had kids there, and they're doing spectacularly well. So do that. The other thing I really which I think is very important. If you're shipping things and mailing things from the post office, UPS, you better get going. You can check it yourself. Check ups.com/ CTC, all lowercase, ups.com/CTC for details. Here's some quick ones. UPS next day, the last time, December 23rd. Last day you can do it. UPS second day, December 20th. UPS third day, select, December 19th. So, folks, I don't want to scare you, but we got to get going here because the time... before we know it, it's going to be here. Christmas is going to be here and gone. The other thing out at Taconic High School, and I hope I can put my finger up. Today is the last day you can order Christmas balls, Christmas wreaths, things like that. And I misplaced it, and I apologize for that. But you pretty much know what you're dealing with here, and it's not really normal. The other piece this, and I would like to say this too, as we enter this holiday, let's enter it on a peaceful note, a happy note, a note where people care about each other, I happen to wish somebody a Merry Christmas in a public venue, and a person went off on me like a shotgun, saying, you know, when are you people going to let that go? And I don't mean to be offensive to anybody. I really don't. But I believe in Christmas. And I believe in the holidays. And to my Jewish friends, of which I have several, I wish them Happy Hanukkah. And I wish all my Christian friends Merry Christmas, and to all the others, Happy Holidays. We can't make everything a battle. I'm sorry. We just can't make everything a battle anymore. We have to start thinking about people. And I don't mean to preach, but I have to say these things because they're really bugging me, really and truly bugging me. So with that, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. And today, do something nice for somebody, especially somebody who needs an uplift, a phone call, a coffee, anything to lighten their load, put a smile on their face. You never know. The other thing, too, is it's Christmas. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold enemies. As I said earlier in the show, I lost my brother the Thursday before Thanksgiving. So we never know. When that phone call comes, you can't change it. God bless. Take care of each other. Why? Think about it. Really think about it. Each other, that's all we have. See you soon. And thank you for all the kind words that I get. And thank you for listening and watching. You're a great audience. And I hope I try to bring you current and up-to-date and different kind of entertainment. Be well. Talk to you soon. Keep on.